Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all my sweethearts, everybody out there. This is your host, your groove mistress, your spiritual advisor and cruise director, Madam Perry. But you don't have to call me Madam. You can call me Jennifer, Perry, JP if you're a musician. I'm just happy to be here. And thank you. Thank you to everybody who's been listening, who's been sharing the post. Author Joe Sprega just posted again, reposted the show for tonight. Thank you so much, Joe. And also the people on Twitter who reposted from Madam Perry Salon. Thank you. Because you listen and subscribe and comment and call and share, you help me to continue to get cool guests here. We've had so guests on here. And that's thanks to you helping me keep the show going. We got more cool people coming and more cool advertisers. Tonight, got an incredibly brilliant man coming on, and he's going to be part of it. You know, I'm excited about what is to me the most wonderful time of the year, and that is Wild Wild West Con, Steampunk Convention in Old Town Tucson in Tucson, Arizona. And so I'm trying to get as many of people involved with Wild West Con on the show this month before the actual convention in March, and you can still get tickets to go, and it's going to be fun. It's just a very welcoming, fun, clever bunch of creative people that are just there to have a good time. By the way, as I said, we do have a new sponsor tonight. I'll tell you more about them later, but actually, it's for the whole month. They're called Daisy Bella, and the website is Daisy, D-A-I-S-Y, hyphen, B-E-L-L-A, Daisy Bella clothes. Not only do they make beautiful T-shirts and hoodies and all kind of cute additions to your wardrobe for when you're getting ready to go out, daytime, night, whatever, with wonderful messages like every soul is perfect. And if you can dream it, you can do it. Be your own kind of beautiful. I like all of these. So, but not only just very, very comfortable, very beautiful clothing. They also want to make sure that the words and graphics reinforce a good positive message for girls and women, that we are all perfect just the way we are. You know, I worked on some TV shows, and sometimes I'll watch them when I'm off, and I remember watching one where the judge says to a man, it was a divorce court, and man's complaining about his girlfriend's gained a little weight or his wife, and she said, "You never, ever, ever say anything to a woman that makes her feel like her body is not all right, not perfect. You just don't do that." And that's good, because. Also, Daisy Bella, because of the way the company works, 10% of their net profit is to their Women in Need program, where they support local charities, sending girls to summer camp when their families times, and also supporting some women and children's shelters where they help rebuild their lives. And, you can go online. I'll be sharing the information on them and the website on all of my social media on Instagram, but I'll keep on. If you go to the Daisy Bella website, and remember that's D-A-I-S-Y B-L-A, order anything on there and use as your promo code thank you, just THANKYOU 20, thank you 20, just the number 20, and you'll get a 20% discount, and that is for my listeners. So, yeah, get on over there. Now, as I said, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm so excited. If you only knew, if you've never been to VidCon, you just have no idea how much fun it's going to be. If you do, like some of my friends that I know are listening right now, podcaster James Spring, with him I'll be doing a live show the first. And friend James Breen, my friend Pierre Escarfo, Thomas Woolford, Gardner's going to be there, all kind of cool people. Another, I am fascinated by the things that the people there make and create and come up with things in their mind and get the idea, write it down, sketch it out, and then make gorgeous things. Tonight's guest is also going to be a featured artist creator at Wild Wild West Con this year, and I am so psyched to have him on. His first time to come in here in the genie bottle and sit down. I have a nice seat. It's not leather, but I think he'll be comfortable. It's a big pillow, a couple of around him. So, Wheeler Stone, Doc Stone, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Thank you. That was quite the intro. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, no, you're great. That's fine. Just making sure.
Okay, good. Glad to
hear. Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I think we're all really excited for Wild Wild West Con. And I'm kind of gearing up for it, as they say. Pardon the pun.
I will pardon the pun this time, because I just posted something that I saw you just posted in the last day or two, and it is your steampunk mixologist doctor bag.
Oh, yeah. That's been getting lots of play recently.
I just saw that. Okay, you got to snap that up there on the screen before the show. It's cool. Now, you used to work as an emergency room nurse, right?
I was, yeah. I was an ER nurse. I basically worked in EMS, you know, as an EMT and paramedic, and then ER nurse for about 15 years. But, I mean, I've been doing leather work since I was in my early 20s. So
haven't
been
we
my
all,
one.
Brother?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. So while you worked in the medical field, did you act, now you did, I imagine some of the things that you're doing now, you may have been, you know, working with or dabbling with or as a hobby years before you actually put time into Doc Stone Studios, but did you ever just kind of take some of the doctor bags and play around with them and think, well, you could put a mixer here and a flask here, anything like that?
Well,
don't worry,
I mean, doctors, the doctor bag is kind of now a misnomer. I mean, I think there was one actual doctor who carried, and he was probably like 70, who actually carried a doctor's bag. This is actually it was a commission, and I'm not going to tell you what it's for because they don't know yet, but it's a commission. Yeah, it's a commission piece, you know, from a friend. Like, we want something that's, you know, going to be a mixologist bag, you know, like, so goes into a steampunk character, you know, and it has all the things you need for a steampunk bar, basically.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's basically just, you know, it's fun and kind of tongue-in-cheek. And, you know, like, I'm Doc Stone, but I'm not an actual doctor of anything other than making leather, maybe, you know.
Well, you're pretty close. You've got some medical cred. But so this would be something like, and like I said, I just love looking at this picture. So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking of Wild Wild West Con, and
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, okay, so this would be if, say, in a strange kind, say if you and I were making a film together, film to show, this would be for bartender, bar owner, like Miss Kitty, if it worked for, and had to take a little something with her.
Exactly. It's basically, it's so you can, like, you know, if you've been to Wild Wild West Con, you know, you're dealing with all kinds of spaces and areas, and suddenly you want to have a, you know, martini. Well, here, let's plunk this thing down, and now we have all the ability to make whatever we want. So it's kind of what goes. Or you can just, you know, be like Tobias and have someone buy you a margarita every 5 minutes.
Tobias, yeah, I was going to say, or Tobias or Talus might want a margarita out of here. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, margarita. That's why they call it Margarita Con. Absolutely. No, that's great.
This is good. So, how many times? Well, how often do you go to conventions? cons or gatherings
this will,
around the country?
Well, this will be my third time at Wild Wild West Con because they are so very nice enough to fly me out as a guest, and I'm just, you know, incredibly appreciative of them for that, and just the, you know, the, it really is an honor to just have people want me out there so much that they are willing to, you know, fly me out, you know, and put me up just so I can talk about what I do. So,
ah,
but,
that is great. And is this your third year in a row?
Yeah, third year in a row. Exactly. Yeah, I went, you know,
this
once.
This will be my third year too.
Yeah, so I went once, kind of under Dave Lee's umbrella, and then, you know, last year, you know, it kind of basically they just were like, we're having you out every year, so it's been really great that way.
All right. So yes, it's my third year in a row too. But for the last two, I did a panel on mastering the ether for wireless communications or how to podcast. I think Thomas Willer helped me for this, but James
right.
Breen kept encouraging me to, you know, submit for a panel. I finally did. And obviously, I certainly became hooked. And it's a very warm, friendly group, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's nobody there I don't like. I mean, seriously. You know, it's kind of a big family, and sometimes you have issues with Uncle Joe or whoever, but eventually you make up because you're family. You know, it's a really great environment. I mean, I love the desert anyways. I mean, we throw Key City out here, and it's, you know, in a hotel, and it doesn't have the same immersion. You know, we tried it. It's immersive, and we create a village, but it's not the same as having, like, a Wild West set to actually play with.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that's so much more exciting. I mean, you know, hotels are fine. You just feel like you're really in the real deal, just living it. It's like it was just made for us. So tell me then, how long have you been working with leather and creating and building things, and then how did you come to make it your business, make the studio?
I mean, I've been doing leather work since I was in my early 20s. Like, I was doing Renaissance Fair stuff, and I built my first set of armor, you know, as like one of the first things I did with LARPing back in the day, you know, talking like in the early 90s, you know, when I first started doing stuff. So I've been definitely doing leather work for over, you know, going on 30 years now. So, and it's, you know, it's basically the only thing I've done for my entire life. You know, I've had a bunch of different, like, I was an art director in New York City for a while. And then I, you know, quit that and moved to California and built a cabin and became a hippie. And then I got into EMS and became a nurse, you know. But all through that, I was making stuff. And, I mean, I was a set designer in college, you know, things like that, actor, you know. So I've had a wide and varied career, which ironically now with everything I'm doing, I'm using all of my skills, you know, like, so.
Yeah, I guess you're pretty good at cutting, too, and stuff like that, make a real nice, even scenes, and it stitches stuff up. But aside from the better, so you always work with other, there is a quote from you on an interview that I'm going to find and read here. It's talking about when you left other jobs to become a maker full-time. And this quote is so succinct and so direct and perfect. It says, "The biggest thing about life is we can fail doing something you don't enjoy, so why not risk succeeding at something you do enjoy?"
Right. That's pretty much it, you know. I mean, I think a lot of it is, if you know Goethe, the German philosopher, you know, it's basically a lot of that is about commitment. If you commit to something, then the universe kind of gets behind you and says, okay, he's committed. We're going to give him all the help he needs to make this happen. You know? So, and that's been pretty much true for most of my life.
Well,
you know?
I like that. Yeah, I think when people are right where they're supposed to be, doing what is in their soul, their whether, you know, people use the word passion a lot, but I also think to something that you just, you feel like you were just made, you know, in your DNA. This is what interests you. This is what you're good at. This is what you enjoy. Even the challenging parts and the difficult parts are still enjoyable because you're going to find a way around them. I just think that's when your soul flourishes. It's when you are
right.
where you're supposed to be and commit to that. What about, now you need costumes, leather costumes. I see a picture here of a woman in the Xena Warrior Princess costume.
I did not make that costume. I
okay.
did her, I basically, a lot of what I do is I do the accoutrements. Yeah, I do not have
mm-hmm.
the licensing to do the Xena Warrior Princess costume. So, nor is that kind of my thing. But I did make her a little holder for her sword is what I made on that article. I think you're talking about the Voice of America. The Voice
yeah,
of America.
Yeah, Voice of America.
Yeah, so that was a couple years ago. And that's actually Steampunk Xena, who was, you know, Inger Talbot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I have done, you know, some clothing articles, and most of it for me, you know, just because, I mean, it's kind of the, you know, cobbler's children effect where I have to have something to wear to the show, you know, because I'm expected to look halfway decent at the show rather than just walking around in jeans and t-shirt like I normally do. You'll see the Hellboy outfit at Walla WestCon, which, I mean, the problem is that I wear these things and then people buy them off me and then I don't have them anymore. So that's been kind of, so the Hellboy is actually already sold, and the gentleman who bought it, you know, one of the stipulations of him buying it was, but I get to wear it to Walla WestCon because I have to have something to wear until I can make something else.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, what a problem to have. Every time you wear something, somebody wants to buy it. So, yeah, I think that would
be good. Yeah, it's a good, again, it's the whole cobbler's children thing, and then I'm left with no costume that I have to make again. But, but you know, it's a living.
So when you're out working in your studio, do you have, I know it looks like you've got a mannequin on this picture, on the Voice of America thing with the belt and so forth. What do you do at home when you're putting together something or a piece to be worn? Does your wife used to come in and say, hey, honey, can you come try this on? Or
oh, definitely. My wife is my favorite model. And she's very tolerant
good.
Of she's giving me the whatever eye right now. But she's listening to the interview.
Is she coming
unfortunately she just started a new job, so she'll not be able to come this year. She was there the first year. We just moved to Winchester, and she has a great new job working for a university. So, but she just started it, so it's hard to take off, you know, right away.
Okay, well, as long as she's there for you though. She's there to.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, no.
I mean,
she is definitely my best booth helper.
All right,
ever.
That sounds good. By the way, for people who are listening live, if you have a question. Wheeler Stone about leather, making anything, just give us a call. You can call in at 646-716-9922, or if you just want to say hello or just tell him you think he's a genius, call in. Or people that, and if you have and you know, Wheeler, would you rather I call you Wheeler or Doc?
Wheeler's fine. Yeah, Doc is kind of my steampunk. It's like my brand, basically.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know, wear whatever you want. But yeah, no, I'm Wheeler. Fine.
All right. Yeah. So, well, you know, sometimes Wheeler, you have jobs where you can't always make a phone call, even though you're listening to something. So, well, sometimes send questions or comments to me on a Facebook or
right
either through Jennifer Perry or through Madame Perry's salon, and Tobias Curry acknowledged with a heart that he heard us talking about, you know, he knows we're talking about him and Taylor's and margaritas, so he put a heart-like on that.
Hey, well, okay, so if Taylor and Tobias are listening, then it's a party right there, so we're awesome. So that's fun.
So
yeah.
Oh yeah, they're so much fun. So what are your favorite things with leather? Is it the accessories? Do you like coming up with new things? And I got to tell you, some of the steampunk things you've got that have things that light up, or some kind of a glow in the dark liquid, like in a, it's like a leveler.
Oh, yeah, it's just been, I mean, I've done a couple of different things. Actually, right now I'm making a Captain Nemo's bracer for a client, and it's going to involve some LEDs and stuff I haven't used in a while, which is fun. So I'm getting out the soldering iron again, so that'll be fun. But that's currently on my bench.
Okay, so Captain Nemo's racer, he says a commission product. So tell me, how do people work with you? Do they say, look, I got this idea, or this is what I want, or I need something for this? How do they come to you, and do you create the idea together, or they come to you with an idea and then you come up with the pattern?
I pretty much do my own designs. I'm very adamant about that. Like, I'm not here to... Only because I've run into this problem before. I basically am not here to be somebody else's hands for their design.
Uh-huh.
I'm just at a point in my career where, like, that's not something I'm interested in, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I will do is, hey, I have this thing I want, you know, and I want it to look kind of like this. I'm like, okay, I'll do that, but I'm going to do it my way and my design. And that was kind of the thing about the bag, is that it – really, the person who gave me the commission just basically said, you make your best thing that you can make, and here's some money. And that's what we came out with, you know, and they are ecstatic. And, you know, it's basically that's kind of the way I work. You know, people give me money and I make stuff for them. And I think I've had, in the last 5 years, one person not be happy, you know, but... And they just were a little uneducated about, anyway, like, basically 99.9% of the time, everyone's very happy with what I'm designing for them. So, I mean, I really enjoy belts and things like that. Like, I've been getting into a lot of the Star Wars stuff. I have a couple of Mandalorian belts I'm going to be making.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice. Okay. Where do you get your biggest challenges from? And what keeps you, middle of the night and wake up from a dream about something? I could do that.
I do wake up in the middle of the night thinking about stuff, yes. It's just one of the, you know, problems with being an artist. You just are always thinking about what you can make, or, you know, how to make something, or, you know, that's why I guess my main problem, as to answer your question, is sometimes I have to let things sit to kind of be percolating, you know what I mean? You know, and once they
uh-huh.
do, then the ideas come to the surface, but sometimes it takes a little, some ideas take a little longer than others. I think that's the thing. So you're dealing with a time schedule for a client who wants a thing, and then you have to let that happen, you know. And I'm pretty good at, you know, something that I've made before, it's not a problem. I can get it out right out the door. But a lot of my commissions are, you know, first run, never been done before items, you know. So that's kind of the hardest, is really getting the starting momentum on a new piece that I've not done before, you know. Because I like to think about things a lot and design in my head a lot before committing to leather. But,
do you ever work with other people on a project, or do you just prefer to work straightforward solo?
Actually, I've worked within the last year with Dave Lee and a bunch of and Lori Fueling and a bunch of other artists on a project for a young man who had cancer and passed away. Dave Lee was doing a sorry, I'm forgetting exactly. It was like a mech warrior thing for a specific game that I'm not a part of, but I made a belt, you know, basically I made one piece, Dave made a bunch of other pieces, Lori made another piece, you know, and so it was definitely a collaboration between a bunch of other people. I mean, I've collaborated with, you know, Tobias on one of his outfits, you know, so he has like some of my pieces and some of the stuff he made, you know, so yeah, it's totally like any artist worth a salt really loves working with other artists. Like I was just talking with Arthur Milliken this afternoon, pretty much right before this interview. And it became like this, you know, mutual admiration society of like, oh, you're awesome. No, you are awesome. You know, so I think like any artist, you know, worth their salt is going to feel that way about another artist in his, you know, caliber range or, you know, or there is no caliber range. It's just art is art and everyone's where they are. So.
Okay, people who are listening to this that may not know about steampunk, may not know a lot about it or leather work, you know, of course there are a lot of people that know you. You've got, what, over 5,000 followers or more on Facebook and stuff. What about people who don't think that they know you? I can tell you, you've very likely seen some work by Doc Stone here, or maybe see you, because you've worked as an actor as well as creating things, props for film and television.
You've probably seen me less as an actor. I mean, you know, I did a lot of background work in the 90s, and you know, I was on a couple of things. You know, I got to sit next to Gus Van Sant in the car from Good Will Hunting. That's kind of basically part of it, but my acting career is not distinguished at all. I recently did Secret Within the Sphere, which is a fun.
Oh,
I did House of Cards.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to play a surgeon, you know, so that was fun. And you know, it's unfortunate with the whole Kevin Spacey thing. I mean, it's unfortunate that he happened to do all that stuff and ruin that show, but
The Crucible,
yeah, that was fun. Again, this is like the 90s, you know, or mid 90s, and I did pretty much everything coming out of Boston in the mid 90s, so yeah, I worked for like a month on that movie.
And there's a recent film, a steampunk film, isn't there? A Secret Within the Sphere?
Yeah, I actually have lines in that. That was kind of fun. A bunch of the community in the area of the PA and around this area did it. Had this really, you know, funny yet, you know, short scene where I'm like a store shop owner and I'm talking to this guy. And the funny thing about that is I completely missed an entire page of lines that I had because I didn't see them. Because I had asked the director, the script, you know, I don't know if you ever read a script. Scripts are, you get like sides and dailies, you know, basically.
Yeah.
So you won't get like the whole script. You'll get like, you know, a couple of pages of script. And apparently I missed one of the pages. And so, you know, it's a little bit of improv, you know, learning lines on the fly, which was fun. You know, I mean, it came out okay. The guy doing the photography said I did great, and that's all that matters. So.
That's all that matters. Yeah, you've got an IMDb page that also includes work as a prop designer or prop costume maker on there too. So that's nice. Yeah, we have, well, you know, I'm in Atlanta, as if you couldn't tell from the way I talk. And, you know, we've got a lot going on around here. And there was one series I'm still not allowed to name. You know what it's like to sign NDAs, right?
Yeah.
And with like 12 pages of, if you say a word to anybody that gets back to you, you'll cost us, you'll have to pay. It's like, look, pay that. I wouldn't be doing this gig, right? But
exactly.
This, even though I enjoy it, I really do enjoy it. But there was one series that I worked on a lot last year, from February all through the fall, and even my dog worked on it one day. But toward the end, I had I think it's one of the last shows. I've got a scene where this camera comes in close while we're watching. The whole town is watching this phenomena happen that we're all shocked by. And so the camera just zooms right in, and I was supposed to look up at the sun and squint and make this horrible face, and I just said, okay, this is not going to be a glamour shot. Even though I'm not young, you know, still, you always want to look good. But this is not a glamour shot, but that's okay. That's what the job is. Somebody has to do it, and that's showbiz. But it's still
right. Well, and show business is such a interesting thing, especially around like cost. Like, so I had a very, very cool opportunity. It's like the whole cool opportunities that almost happen. I mean, let's say I got like last year, both Dave Lee and I applied for the show Making It, and we kind of both got into like the third round of auditions, and you know, it just didn't happen. And then it was like, you know, so we were so close. We got into this, you know, Skype interview and stuff like that with the producers. And then the coolest thing that didn't happen this year was I almost got the chance to make a jacket for one of the main characters on The Walking Dead. There's a friend of mine who's a costume designer kind of hooked me up with that, and they went with, I don't know exactly what they went with, but it's just interesting to kind of brush close to the business, you know, because it becomes like the opportunities become more real. It's like they're crystallizing, you know. So it's like the more that happens, the more myself, you know, that's why we do this. You know, we like put our stuff on Facebook, you know, otherwise it'd just be, okay, I'm going to, you know, make stuff and sell it, you know, and that's fine too. But the reason why we put it on the Facebook is because we want our stuff seen. We want people to see it, and we want to be able to do more with our art. So it's really what we have. And that's why we are pushing to become better and better. I was, speaking of Taylor, I was, you know, looking at her Facebook today, and she was saying how, you know, she just became, has been doing wedding sewing. And I'm sorry, my brain is like fried.
Seamstress or alteration
for
wedding gown.
Seamstress for a year now, and you know how she's so much better than she was a year ago, and like, you know, and that's exactly it. It's like you do anything for every day for some amount of time, you're gonna get better at it, and that's really, I think, what we all strive for.
Yeah, exactly. I think, because I remember, I think when she was on here last year, she had just started or had been doing that and talking about how different, you know, the work was. And she's, you know, you always thinking she's great. But, yeah, but she gets it as an artist and as a creator, you know, learning something different to make her skills.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been following her work for, right. I've been following her work for years now. It's just amazing to watch what she's done, you know. I mean, and my business partner in Key City, Brian Fadrosh, as well, like just watching what he's been doing. If you don't know him, you should really get to know him as well. He's one of the co-producers along with Tobias for Key City Steampunk Festival. And I've watched his work go, you know, from him being really unsure about it to like making these full blown, you know, 9-foot costumes that are awesome. That's great. Yeah. You know, a little shout out to Brian. I know you're probably listening, but, you know,
yeah, Brian, hello. Good. Come on, give us a call or come on the show sometime. I want to learn more about what you do. Yeah.
I think he's probably in his shop right now as well. But, I mean, I think that's the thing is you have this whole community, which is the best thing about steampunk, is that you have this whole community of makers, you know, who really just support each other, and, you know, we can ask questions of each other, and it's just, it's a great thing. And I mean, sometimes you get egos involved, and it's what it is, you know, but
yeah.
On a whole, the ones that really are just in it for the art, are not in it for the ego, are just a joy to be around. And, you know, it's, I mean, I try to be that person, you know, I'm trying to do it just for the art, you know, and
you know,
if my art's making someone happy, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, art is like,
If, you know, if my art's making someone happy, then I'm happy. That's basically, I mean, I was kind of blown away by this last piece. I mean, it's got over, I think probably, you know, 250 shares right now with, you know, over 1,000 likes throughout all the pages. And, you know, it's
wow.
Affirmation that I'm doing something right.
By the way, there was something you said a few minutes back that I'm probably going to go back and check again because I liked, and this is not a direct quote, but something when you were talking about the auditions for making it or the interviews, and they said, you know, in the list of coolest things that, you know, almost happened or didn't happen.
Almost didn't happen.
You know, the coolest things almost didn't happen.
Exactly.
That almost happened but didn't. One of the coolest things, you know, that has some great stories in itself for people.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe we should just do a show on that.
Brushes with fame.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the same thing as like, It basically means you've hit like a certain level in your making where people are starting to notice you. And even if you don't get the actual thing, you know, that you're trying out for or whatever, it's the fact that someone has noticed your thing and you have that chance to do it. You know, it was in the realm of possibility to have, you know, one of my pieces in a major, you know, The Walking Dead, you know, like, which how many thousands of people would have seen a piece made by me, you know? I mean, careers have been made on that, you know? I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, you know, like, whoever the designer whose name, unfortunately, I can't remember, who designed for Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, like, I actually looked him up and said, can I be your understudy, or, you know what I mean, like, can I come and apprentice with you, you know? Just, and, you know, it's one of those things, it's Hollywood, he gets like 1,000 people asking him that a day, you know.
Yeah.
But it's you know, there's that hope of, okay, if I keep doing stuff and people keep liking it, eventually somebody really will see it, you know. And that's why I think that's why we're, you know, a lot of it is we're doing it for the art. Don't get me wrong. We do this every day because we love doing it. And I can't see doing anything else now. You know, I have this amazing studio, you know, that I get to play and do whatever I want in every day, you know, within reason. I still have to, you know, do the things for the client, but I also get to play, you know, in my own little studio. But
you know, I like that what you're saying. And for people who listen to this, yeah, that's their inspiration. It's like, if you keep doing it, yeah, you're right. In the Hollywood and the big world, whatever, that they hit with this stuff all the time. And, you know, people say they can do stuff, and maybe they can't do it, maybe they can, you know, they never know. But the more you continue just to apply yourself into your art and what you do, that's how you become noticed. And nobody's going to just come knock on the door and say, is there anybody here that happens to know how to do something, you know, or how to make this or that? They're not going to do that. But the more people notice you and get to know your work, and your work begins to get a reputation of its own like yours does, which is fantastic. And by the way, thank you for I hope you didn't mind where I put that task of you, the full body shot. And I said, I think this is steampunk Blake Shelton.
I mean, you know, there. I'll take that as a compliment. Not at all. That's not a problem. There are worse things to be called.
That's how it was meant. That's exactly how it was meant. Tell me about, I noticed one of your jobs, it said you owner-artist at Dockstone Studios and chief cat herder at Key City Steampunk Festival. So since you've mentioned Key City a couple of times, would you tell me more about that? Because I don't know.
So Key City Steampunk Festival. Basically, it's a steampunk festival where we are in our fifth year. It started in Frederick, Maryland. We are now in Gettysburg, PA. It's happening August 14th through 16th. We are now the largest steampunk festival on the East Coast. And basically, yeah, I mean, you know, and that's after the implosion of He Who Shall Not Be Named event. You know, that whole fiasco happened. But, you know, we've been going on for 5 years now. You know, I started it myself with Tobias, like, basically being there every year, helping out. And then 2 years ago, I made Brian and Tobias partners. And thank God, because, oh, my God, I needed help. And we are, you know, we have an amazing staff, you know, and this year the theme is going to be Cthulhu versus the Martians, or Martians versus Cthulhu.
Ooh.
So lots of fun. We are going to be at the Gettysburg Wyndham Hotel, just outside of Gettysburg proper. And it's going to be a great year. I mean, we are having, so the guest lineup is going to be, as far as the musical guests, so there's two parts of the show, which is we have the musical guests, which is going to be headlining Saturdays This Way to the Egress for the gala, which is an amazing, like, vaudevillian, you know, multi-act show on Saturday. And then Friday night, it's going to be Frenchie and the Punk with Nathaniel Johnstone. So that's going to be a whole nother amazing concert.
Wow.
But the main thing about our show is it's a makers show. It's a show where all the makers get together and we have an amazing time talking about what we're doing, just kind of, you know, basically my theory on the show is I make a party for makers, you know, and then people just show up and then they get to talk about what they do. And, you know, it's we create a makers village for a weekend. And I'm very, very thankful. Like, Dave Lee's been there. Like, Thomas has been there almost every year. Tobias has been there every year. You know, Brian's been there almost every year. You know, he came, I think, the second year, and after that he was there every year. Now he's, you know, running it with me. And then,
oh,
yeah,
I was going to say, the website is not completely up yet for this year, but you can check it out on, but the web address, KeyCity steampunk.com, and they've also got a Key City, that's Key City Steampunk page on Facebook. So you can check that out and know what's going on. It's August 14th.
Yeah, the website is still, I mean, we're like seven. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean everyone. It's August 14th through 16th. Yeah. The website is, you know, we're gradually getting it under wraps. But the main info is on the Facebook page. Like, I upload stuff every, you know, because we're building the event as we go along. I mean, we're 7 months out still. And we've, you know, basically, I'm going to say we've pretty much paid off the hotel space, like the convention space, and we have met our, you know, commitment to the hotel rooms wise. So the event is pretty much, you know, definitely doing very, very well financially. So we're very excited about that, and that just means we can do more. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, bring in more guests. And this year we're bringing out Charles Mason, the second. He was in the show Steampunked.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I met him a couple years ago. He's this amazing guy, and we're really excited to bring him out because we haven't seen him out on the East Coast for a while. So it's very fortunate that we get to do that, you know. Thomas will be there. Tobias will be there. We're going to get a bunch of other people out.
I'm looking at some of the pictures on the Facebook, just some of the music. I don't know if I'm allowed to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Or can I?
What's that?
Frenchie and the Punk?
Yeah, Frenchie and the Punk, Nathaniel Johnstone, and This Way to the Egress are going to be playing in the weekend as our headliners.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Headlining musical
talent. Yeah, they've been on here before, too. Charles Edward Mason. Look, these pictures are fantastic, too, of him.
Exactly. No, he's a great guy. He's an amazing maker. Yeah, we're really excited. He's just really, really nice guy. We're so excited to have him out.
And looking at the pictures on Facebook for Key City Steampunk, I'm not sure, and I know you've seen this page, and I'm looking at a couple of folks. There's a little montage. It's like Frenchie and the Punk on top. On the lower right is a lady playing keyboards with a fabulous hat, and there's three men, and the one in the middle looks like steampunk Frida Kahlo.
I have no idea what you're looking at this point. Oh, wait, is it Tobias in drag? Because that also might happen. Is one of them me? Yeah. So that was, wow. Wait, I hope Tobias heard that. She just called Tobias steampunk Frida Kahlo.
How about what a handsome woman. I think I know.
Yeah, that would be Tobias in drag because so that's the every year. It started the first year because, you know, it's Sunday and it's the end of the event and everyone's kind of giddy. So it's the get Tobias drunk and dress him in all your wares. So now it's a thing is they get Tobias drunk and they dress him in drag and he takes photos.
Well, I don't know what else y'all did to it, but it appears to have a lot of in his cleavage. So apparently he seemed like he was tipped well, unless it's all one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. I think last year we ran it as a benefit for something, and I think he made over a couple $100 for the charity. I apologize, I forget exactly which charity it was, but I think it was like.
Look, you can't look at this without thinking, I need to go. I got to hit this.
It's a great show. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It is a labor of love, and you know, we all bust our ass on it, making it happen. But and it's sometimes it's pain in the ass, but it's such a good show when it's going on, and really, you know, as far as a community show, I mean, it's not community run, but it's definitely a community show, if that makes sense. You know,
mm-hmm,
we really,
I gotcha.
You know, we basically put the infrastructure up, and if you build it, they will come and build a whole village of steampunk awesome. Because that's what happens every year.
And that's exactly what it is, steampunk awesome. But we get to see you though next month at Wild Wild West Con in Tucson, Arizona. And as I was saying earlier, James Spring, whom you know, and he has a podcast called
James
Creative
is awesome.
Play. Isn't
yeah.
he? Isn't he great?
Yeah,
and
James
Spring
is
too. James Spring and James Spring. James Spring is a guy that talked me into this. Years ago,
yeah.
I didn't listen, but once I did, I'm in for life. And then James Spring, who has Creative Play and Podcast Network, he and I have been asked to combine our shows on Friday night and do a 2-hour broadcast together. So drop by if you can. I hope this means I can still sneak out to the absinthe tasting or be out in time for that.
That's
but,
great. Where are you guys going to be?
I think it's in the where are those Friday night activities taking place? I think in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not real sure about a lot of it, but wherever.
Okay,
thing
so
is
we'll
going,
find
so.
You and we'll pop in and say hi then. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes, please do, because we're going to have 2 hours to fill, so we've got time to get everybody. And so please do stop by. And for people who want to give you money to make stuff, commit you, where should they contact you?
Darkstone Studios.
Or?
Yeah, no, I don't have a website. It's a Facebook page. I mean, it's
okay.
Yeah, it seems to work for me. So, yeah, Darkstone Studios is the best way to get a hold of me. Pretty simple, easy to find. Has a helmet on it. You can see, look at my work. I'm.
Oh, I have. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you go ahead.
I've got a question coming in here for you, and mm-hmm. from James Spring right now, and he says, what new? It does start off with, what new piece of steampunkery will Dr. Stone be bringing to Wild West Con in March?
Like I said, we're going to bring out the steampunk Hellboy outfit, which hasn't been seen out there. I've only brought it to one other show, so it hasn't been seen all that much. So that's going to be the thing. And then, I mean, I'm going to be bringing a bunch of stuff to sell. So you'll be able to, you know, go to my booth and see all the stuff that you can actually take home with it. You wouldn't even have to just look at it. If you like it, you can buy it. So that's kind of one bonus for that.
So
yeah, no, I'm going to be in the main, I believe it's the artisan vending area in town, not up in the vending area. It's kind of, you know, kind of where Thomas is and all that. And I think it's in the courthouse. So that's where I will be.
Oh, all right. Yeah. It's a good place. okay. So, James Spring said, steampunk cowboy. He wants to know, is that a midnight steampunk cowboy? I told him I'm out of this. I'm going to message him back. This is none of my business at that point.
I mean, I usually work all day, but it all depends. I mean, is Tobias suddenly showing up in my room with a bunch of alcohol? Maybe, you know, that's kind of,
okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta remember we, it's our job to go and entertain people. So we have to make sure that we're fresh and ready for the morning or we just don't sleep. Yeah.
What I see.
I mean, if you're
here,
if you're Tobias, you don't sleep. You're 25, 26, and you have loads and loads of energy and don't have to sleep for 3 days. So,
yeah, he's younger and his parts are newer. Plus, he's got those spring-loaded shoe things.
The heels,
does, you know,
yeah,
the spring
exactly.
Heel, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so he's got that. And this will be fun. So if you want something made, or you have an Etsy store too, don't you?
I do have an Etsy store. Etsy takes a lot of money, so I usually, the price is a little bit higher than Etsy store. The best way to get something from me is just contact me directly and say, hey, I want this. That's really the best we do.
All right. So you can find Facebook, Wheelerstone, Doc Stone, Wheelerstone on Facebook. Contact him through there, and he will make sure he will make something, whatever your idea, whatever it is you
look
want.
For,
it'll be beyond your dreams.
Look for Doc Stone
Doc
Studios
Stone.
On Facebook.
Doc Stone Studios. And I will be repeating all that on all my social media so that everybody can find it, because I have a lot of people that tell me they listen in the car, so I know they can't write it down. Or
awesome.
I hope they don't try. But,
awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely be sharing that. And and thanks to all the people who are leaving me little funny messages and listening to this. Thank you so much, James and Jim and Tobias and everybody. Thank you. Paige Gardner, who will be on there. You've seen her work, haven't you?
Oh, Paige is awesome. She's going to be – yeah, Paige and I have been talking, and she's going to come to be a guest at Key City as well. Yeah, no, it's funny.
Oh,
I've never
good.
Met Paige, but I'm excited to – meet her as well, like at Wawa WestCon. So.
Well, she's going to be on here. I think it's next Tuesday. She'll be here on the podcast, and she was a little apprehensive to doing it. And I told her it's a very friendly place here, so hopefully you, if you have a chance, or you know, I'm not as
oh yeah,
as I
totally.
Look.
I'll drop good word. Absolutely.
Thank you. So, Doc Stone Studios, go to Doc Stone Studios on Facebook. Look at all the cool stuff. You could resist. And I'm so sorry that your wife won't be there this year. I'd love to meet her.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good time for everybody.
Yeah. definitely. Right. Well, so glad to meet you, and thank you. And I'll look forward to seeing you face to face in the next couple of weeks.
That sounds good to me, Doc.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, when you were the napkin, swinging everything you did, you jump and jive and pop and sing, saying everybody's got to swing. But Mom and Pop were right on time. They helped up all your nursery rhymes. So when you started off your dream of a jive-dive jitterbug sing, Mother Goose to swing. Cut a rug. Thank you.